I finally got proof that that Buck Rogers episode actually exists.
We're talking about the one with Jerry Orbach in it?
Yeah, it was the weirdest thing. I was sick and I was in Arizona, and it was just crazy. I'm watching TV delirious on my couch, and then this electronic band wearing Christmas lights comes in. And they start playing electronic music. Yeah, this is on the TV.
And then
they cut to a futuristic recording studio where somebody is George Jetson-like pressing one button over and over and over again. And in comes Jerry Orbach and his heavy bull from Night Court. They say something ridiculous and then kill that guy. And that's, I thought I was hallucinating until yesterday. This is Ask an Atheist. Welcome, 253-584-1480. My name is Sam, and with me today is Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
And with me is Jason Three Ninjas Brene. How you doing?
Hey, me?
Yeah, you.
Oh, hey. Hi.
Hi. And Matthias Tangent Bot Pertlebaugh, how you doing?
Hi, good.
All right, fantastic.
You look nice today.
Thanks, so do you.
Nobody said anything about me.
Yeah, well, you know.
You look nice, eh?
Faces for radio, etc.
Okay.
So what do we got to what do we got today, Mike?
Oh, well, there's a little segment that I've wanted to start for a couple weeks now, and it's called Scripture Says What? basically, what we're talking about is pieces of scripture, lines, stuff that is, you know, horrible, weird, funny, and just plain bizarre. And this one actually comes from the New International Version of the Bible. And if you want to read along with us, just flip over to Deuteronomy 25:11-12, and I think this may actually be the greatest piece of scripture in the Bible, the greatest passage of all time. So Deuteronomy 25:11-12, it reads as such. If two men are fighting and the wife of one of them comes to rescue her husband from his assailant, and she reaches out and seizes him by his private parts, you shall cut off her hand, show her no mercy.
Ow.
The thing I love about this is, clearly, I'm on a show called Ask an Atheist. So I'm not somebody who buys a lot of these claims in the Bible. But I will say this. Of all the things in the Bible, this is the one thing that I am absolutely certain really happened. It is far too specific. And I can tell you this happened to the author of this passage.
Can you guys visualize a circumstance under which that story might occur?
Yes.
Any ideas?
Well, I can't really talk about it on the radio.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah.
What I love about this is that, one, it's so specific. Two guys fighting. Woman intervenes, grabs a dude by the junk, basically to save her husband. But the real crime in here is the genital attack.
The junk grabbing.
The junk grabbing is the real problem, which lets me go to believe that, you know, the guy who wrote this was, this is like the next day, he's writing the Old Testament, and he's like, you know what? That was wrong. There ought to be a law against that.
I like the without mercy part, because that means if you have a moment's hesitation, you think maybe you're overreacting while you're cutting her hand off, you have sinned against the Lord.
Cut off her hand like you just don't care.
Yeah. That's what I love about this, too, is it's so merciless.
Yeah.
It really wants to go there. But the first thing I thought of is if the two men are fighting and the woman intervenes, and my first thought is I thought that was an immediate disqualification.
So would the woman be the wife of the person that she's defending?
Yeah, she's attacking the man who's not her husband.
Oh. So it's specifically got to be the wife. Just if some random lady comes up and does a junk grab, is that considered courtship in the Bible? Or
I don't know. I think that there's parts of the Bible that say if there is an unwanted sexual advance, like a rape or something, in the Bible it does say that if the woman doesn't scream loudly enough that she should be put to death.
Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480.
And that's the beautiful thing about the Bible. But I think a lot of, and the reason we're doing this segment, yeah, we're kind of poking it with a stick and giggling at Scripture. But I think a big part of it is that people tended to treat their holy Scriptures a bit like a software license agreement that they get when they download an update to, like, Adobe Flash or something. And they have a tendency to just click I agree without reading any of the stuff.
Yeah.
So every week, what we're going to do, every week if we have good material, is we're going to read a weird piece of scripture, not just the Bible, maybe something from the Quran or the Bhagavad Gita or something. So if you have a piece of scripture, something that you think is just truly mind-bogglingly odd, go to our website, askanatheist.tv, click on the big red candy-like button, and send it our way. Let us know where it is. We'll look it up, make sure it's real, and we may read it on the air.
All right, we've got a call. This is Rick from Columbus, and he's got an open philosophical question about plundering. How you doing today?
Hey, I'm all right, man. How are you?
Good, good. What do you have for us?
I have this question I've been pondering. Well, I feel I know the answer, but I just wanted to ask you guys, just toss it up in the air. It's a pretty open philosophical question. Is plunder groundless?
Plunder? You mean like if I was a pirate and I took something by force? That's plunder?
Right, right.
What was the question?
Yeah, that's it. Is it groundless?
Is it groundless? That's so. Is there a moral basis for plundering? Is what you're asking?
Right.
Okay. Wow.
I have a problem with robbing someone. I think of this as theft. That I don't see any different than I attack an entire city versus I break into a dude's house.
It fueled the British Navy.
That I plunder. It seems like a really fun, cool word. That maybe you have a pirate and a hook for a hand, but you're still just robbing a dude. You're just beating up right. his whole town rather than just beating him up on the street corner.
I have to admit, this is a philosophical concept that's a little bit outside of my experience. I've never really been in a position to take things by force, so it never really entered in.
Your lexicon.
My lexicon or my environment. I've been mugged, and I think that's pretty immoral.
Yeah, I have a problem with that. I think a lot of it comes from basic empathy, that I know what it feels like to have somebody try to mug me, and I can't justify inflicting that feeling on somebody else.
Right. Well, one way I could put this is, you know that U.S. pastors actually have gone to Uganda.
Mm-hmm.
To get them to amend their constitution to actually kill homosexuals.
Right.
Right. And so I think there's perhaps a greater picture than that. And, for example, at the same time, AFRICOM, which is a U.S. command in Africa, the military command, they were actually at the same time doing war games all over the place.
Right.
And so, to me, when I look at it, and at the same time, you also had hedge funds, they're buying up the land in Africa to farm,
mm-hmm.
like Harvard and what was it, the Cinderella team from the NCAA basketball?
I guess I'm kind of curious. I guess I'm curious, Rick. Can you tie this back into plunder?
Yeah, because I think that the pastors going over is actually they're splintering labor to actually go after the natural resources. And so they're saying, legalizing genocide at the same time, but they're actually splintering labor because Africa is rich with natural resources, including labor.
Right.
And so they're using the specter of proper sex in order to, divide people. So it's more or less a divide and conquer thing.
So you're saying that they're using the legislation in Uganda and other stuff as basically a way to sort of manipulate themselves in and buy up the natural resources and utilize the cheap labor.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And so that's, to me, that's plunder.
I could definitely see that, yeah.
Right. Yeah, religion is a good Trojan horse to get a lot of other, I guess you could say, bad legislation in, that you may right. not be for a certain, I'm not going to take one stand or another on, economics on this show, but I could see using religion as sort of a populist way of
right.
getting your foot in the door with a population.
Yeah. Well,
exactly.
That's a look on it that I haven't really considered. Rick, thank you for your call.
Absolutely, man. Have a good week.
You too. You too. So, back into things. So we had our interesting Bible quote for the week, but we've got some special guests. We've got Three Ninjas and Tangent bought in. And you've got some stuff coming up today. Why don't we just open up with that? There's a big show coming up.
Well, yes, actually. This Thursday, July 21st. Firth.
I think that's in Old English.
At Chop Suey in Seattle, we're opening for a dude named Open Mike Eagle.
Okay.
So tell us about this guy.
Well, so the thing is, I met Open Mike Eagle when he was on tour with a guy named Bus Driver about a year, 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And in my religion of music, Bus Driver is the father. It's a guy named Daedalus is the Christ. And Mike Eagle is the Holy Ghost. So I get to open for the Holy Ghost. Well, we get to open for the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And that's a big deal for us.
Very good.
So, Jason, I know that you were someone, and when you had you on last time, you'd mentioned that you actually did play Christian rock at one point.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess my first question is, when you look back on that now, I mean, clearly you're sort of a nerdcore atheist rapper, but when you look back on the Christian music you do, how do you feel about it?
A little embarrassed. both topically and in terms of execution. It was pretty crappy.
I mean, was there at least any good technique in it? You're like, okay, that part was pretty good, or is it just embarrassing all overall, kind of like when you look pictures of yourself in parachute bands from the 90s?
Once I used a sharp 9 chord.
We did discuss covering the songs that you did when you were in that.
I don't want to do that.
I think that would be awesome.
I want to cover some Newsboys awesome. Songs. I would like to cover the Newsboys.
How about God is doing a new thing?
No.
That.
No. So, please, no. I had heard something a while back. I saw this on the internet, but I found it to be frighteningly true, that when you actually just write these titles down on a piece of paper, that a Christian rock band's name is pretty indistinguishable from the title of an episode of Star Trek The Next Generation. So I have to ask, what was the name of your Christian rock band?
I was in two. One was Blind Man's Vision, which could totally be an episode of Star Trek.
A Geordi episode, I think.
Yes! Oh my god, I hate myself even more now. And the other one was F of X, which...
F of X.
Maybe. F of X.
Maybe a Voyager episode.
That would be a Voyager. It would be completely incomprehensible. Yeah,
that's what I love about the titles. There is a certain amount of pretension about them. The, yeah. Like, oh, The Burden of the Father, or, you know, Vindication.
How about Striper?
Informal Reprimand.
Reprimand.
Reprimand. Where does Striper fit in that then?
I think I'd do an episode about that. I would be kind of a challenge. I mean, it's kind of a writing exercise. Okay, write your Star Trek episode entitled Striper.
One Bad Pig.
One Bad Pig. Wow, that's an interesting one.
Oh. Looking back on that, that is kind of funny, though. I like the idea. I am going to put it out there, and I would like to... If you're listening to this now and you would like to see an ironically performed Christian rock album... It's sort of like dressing up in your old high school clothes and going, man, what was I thinking?
Call us up and tell us about it. 253-584-1480.
I would like to do the occasional worship song on stage.
Yeah.
I think that would be great. We should do Shout to the Lord. You guys know Shout to the Lord?
I don't.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. Etc. Etc.
You know,
really, it's really good.
It sounds good.
It could be fun too if you just took the song and replaced the words. You took out. This is the Cartman on South Park thing. You just do the reverse version of what he did, turning contemporary pop songs into Christian rock songs. But you just go the reverse route and just take all the Jesus and Lord and Savior stuff out and replace it with perhaps Zardoz
or
Cthulhu.
Keep all the Christian content, but just throw in the occasional F word.
Oh. That would be great.
And I think it's called poisoning the well, actually. Yeah.
Well, that's fine.
Oh, I mean, it would be a move towards much more hardcore Christian rock. Certainly more away from Christian side hug and the sirens.
Yeah, I prefer the atheist full frontal hug. Yeah.
The full frontal hug.
Full frontal hug.
You do run the risk of your genitals coming within a foot of each other.
I thought we were going to talk about genitals.
Yeah, dude. Getting all junk.
Yeah, this is the episode about junk, it seems.
Yeah, apparently.
But if you are in a fight with somebody, even while performing a front hook, if your spouse comes to grab it, you gotta chop her hand off.
Okay.
Speaking of genitals, we have several songs about genitals. So if you come...
Do you have an album or that people can go find?
I have stuff on 3ninjas.net, and also if you search for my name on iTunes. And Matthias has stuff at tangentbotmusic.com, and we're working on an album together.
All right.
That is almost finished.
You actually brought us some music today. As a matter of fact, I did. Yeah, could you tell us about it?
This is a song called Straight to Voicemail, and it's about how we're too good to talk to celebrities, including local musicians and underground names and the people who are anchors on the Today Show, as well as a plethora of atheist bloggers.
Yeah.
Basically, all the people I follow on Twitter.
All right.
They're just too cool.
Why don't we take a listen? This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Sample the voices of wrestlers. We eat better than we should. Kill message writers and messengers. It's a great way to be understood. It's important to avoid violence. I mean, I guess if you really want to. It's it's easy to outsmart the Alliance when you're this good at using the boot tooth. More cliche than Macklemore's wife beaters. More sports talk than closeted gays. More dramatic than folks who do street theater. Don't give it a screw what Dan Savage says. My mom's been on the Today Show. Tangent's mom's boyfriend's a drummer. He's only in a cover band, though. He says words like gnarly and beep. I ate Cap'n Crunch without Roker. Turned my nose up at Kathy Lee. Her dress is pastel, seriously. Beep. I can't believe she's even talking to me. You're too cool for what you might sing us. We share a bathroom with Steven Seagal. Celebrities, y'all can ring us. We're too badass to take your call. Bus driver, straight to voicemail. Daedalus, straight to voicemail. Radio inactive, straight to voicemail. No can do, straight to voicemail. Open mic eagle, straight to voicemail. Dumbfounded, straight to voicemail. Intuition, straight to voicemail. Verbias, straight to voicemail. Twitter's made with too many tweets, so many friends we need private Facebook feeds. Blowing up our iPhones, blowing up our droids, blowing up our pagers, blowing up our mom's phones. The bias is a track phone, we don't give the number out. It's pay as you go, so that'd be irresponsible. We don't drink Corona, we have cases of chocolate stout. Our time is valuable like a sacred damn Brahma bowl. Seattle Weekly, please stop calling me. Just kidding, this is part of the song where I took the joke too far. But seriously, I had a nice email conversation with Mike Seeley. We should talk. I play quarters and I also play guitar. Our plan B is 10th and Pike. We're pretty bored with the showbox. We'd still play the high dive psych. The restroom there didn't have a lock. We sold out Numa's, it didn't show up, but we did get hot dogs across the street. Steve 7 was all, what the f***? We were like, sorry bro, we gotta eat. See the rain falling and important people calling, but they don't get to speak to me. If Tangent Bot was smart, he'd play the Hills Block Party, but it don't mean shit to me. Polka Glocks, straight to voicemail. Davey Hamburgers, straight to voicemail. Crazy Boy Floyd, straight to voicemail. Trevor Peach, straight to voicemail. 19 Action News, straight to voicemail. Fools Play Improv, straight to voicemail. Julia Massey, straight to voicemail. Jesus Rehab, straight to voicemail. Jen McCrite, straight to voicemail. PZ Myers, straight to voicemail. Greta Christina, straight to voicemail. Godless Girl, straight to voicemail. Christy Wilcox, straight to voicemail. James Randi, straight to voicemail. Rebecca Watson, straight to voicemail. Jerry Coyne, straight to voicemail. Macklemore, straight to voicemail. WD-40, straight to voicemail. Chesky, straight to voicemail. AWOL-1, straight to voicemail. Abaddon, straight to voicemail. Chance Random, straight to voicemail. Sex Panther, straight to voicemail. Mad Rad, straight to voicemail.
You didn't tell me Mad Rad called.
The Humanists of Washington is the oldest humanist organization in the state and offers a community of freethinkers who educate the public and celebrate life. Come celebrate life with us. Humanists support intellectual freedom and critical thinking and hold that human beings are autonomous centers of moral development. You can become a member of the Humanists of Washington at humanistsofwashington.org. You'll get our quarterly publication, The Secular Humanist Press. Check out meetup.com where you can be part of our monthly Seattle dinner and our Heathens Do It Better breakfast. Humanists of Washington.
Tacoma Telematics wants to help you connect with your clients. We can give you a top-notch web presence. Tacoma Telematics can take your website to the next level and make it an essential part of your business marketing, but that's not all. Want VoIP? We've got it, bringing large corporation phone systems capability at mom-and-pop prices. We build intuitive interfaces to help you manage your resources quickly and efficiently. Take advantage of our holistic approach to make your business communications succeed effortlessly. At Tacoma Telematics, we're committed to personal and professional integrity, open communication, and long-term relationships. See us at TacomaTelematics.com.
If you enjoy the programming we create here on Ask an Atheist, please make a contribution with us. Your sponsorship helps keep our show on the air and improve the quality of our broadcasts. Donors get access to exclusive Ask an Atheist content. Don't make us beg. Please go to AskAnAtheist.tv and contribute today.
This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480, and with us today are Three Ninjas and Tangent Bot. We just listened to a song from you guys. So why don't you tell us about the roles you guys play as a duo, I guess.
Tangent Bot...
You go first.
You go first.
Okay.
Tangent Bot mostly plays the classical guitar and the dobro.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, right. And Three Ninjas also plays the classical guitar and the dobro.
The dobro.
What is a dobro?
It's like a classical guitar.
Don't tase me, dobro.
It's just a class. It's not a classical guitar.
Tangent Bot makes beats.
You're right. I make beats on a computer.
Can you be more specific?
It's a Sony Vaio. You know, I like twist a lot of knobs and move a crossfader back and forth and push some buttons, and then he says a bunch of raps over it.
I say raps.
You say raps.
I mean, I make beats too.
Okay,
but
that's true.
He's a little better at it than me. And so
I'm a little older than him.
He is. You're 2 years older than me.
2 years old. Three years older.
Even though we grew up together.
We were in the womb together.
We were in the womb together.
So you stuck around for 2 years?
They kept him in so that I wouldn't have to be alone.
Some people would say that we're brothers, and they wouldn't be entirely incorrect.
But it's like most things, it's not that simple.
Of course not. It never is. So we met you guys. I met you guys for the Rapture Party show.
Yes,
and it's been a lot of fun since then. You've got that show coming up on the 21st,
July 21st, this very Thursday.
This Thursday.
Also, next month, I think on August 5th, I'm going to be on 2020.
Oh, you're going to be on 2020.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay.
It's about my mom. My mom is a hoarder. My mom was on the show Hoarders.
Right.
And since then, I guess people love me because I'm well-adjusted and cute.
Well, you interview well.
I do.
Yeah.
You're right. I agree. But they filmed me doing music, too.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Very good. All right. Yeah, so 2020, we'll put that on the blog so that people know to tune in.
I appreciate that.
Yeah,
thank
that'd
you.
Be great. Also, finally, last time you were on, we said your website, and apparently we got some email asking that they went to a website and got something about a kid's movie or something. Could you let us know which websites to check out?
ThreeNinjas.net.
.net.
Yeah, spelled out. N-I-N-J-A-S. That's my little joke.
Okay, three.
T-H-R-E-E. Ninjas.
Okay.
.net.
All right, that's where it is, everybody.
There's also sexwith3ninjas.com. That is not a kid's movie.
That is not a kid's movie. No. Okay.
It would have been direct-to-video, I think.
There you go, email people. Now you know where to go to find our friends here, Three Ninjas and Tangent Bot. So why don't we do some emails?
Let's. We have one from Danny, who said, I was listening to your advice you gave this girl about whether she should be an atheist. The words, you could be an agnostic if you want, came up in your response. If agnosticism were some type of soft atheism... I always thought that atheism and agnosticism were not part of the same spectrum. Atheism is whether or not you believe... Well, agnosticism is about whether it can be known that a God exists. Did I get you wrong? Or maybe my definition of those two terms is wrong.
I think there's two things here. I mean, we say over and over again on the show that agnosticism is a statement of knowledge, and theism and atheism is a statement of belief.
That's correct.
And we do that a lot. But what you choose to call yourself is almost another ballgame entirely.
Yeah, I think, and this is something that we see a lot, is that some people who... for the most part, are atheists. They do not have a belief in a God. They call themselves agnostics. I can't totally blame them sometimes because it is to escape the stigma of the A word.
Yeah.
I guess one of the points of this show is to break that stigma down by kind of, you know, representing atheism.
Right.
Putting ourselves out there so that people are used to hearing this point of view, used to seeing people self-apply the A word and move on. You are correct, Danny. These are two different metrics whatsoever. One is belief and the other one is knowledge. And this is one of the reasons I actually disagree. This is one of my major disagreements with Richard Dawkins.
Yeah.
He has what's been called the Dawkins scale, the 1 to 7, where absolute disbelief on one end, absolute belief on the other. I don't think agnosticism is, you know, 3 out of 7 or whatever. I don't think that it's in the middle. I don't pretend to know whether a God exists, but I think it's so unlikely and the evidence is so bad for such a big claim that I really have no problem dismissing it.
Yeah. I mean, far be it for me to bring up the libertarian rhombus, but I think that's kind of what you're going for here, is that on one axis you have... whether or not you believe in a God, and on the other axis is whether or not you believe you have knowledge of God.
I have a tendency not to go for the Gary Nolan chart, the libertarian one, but I tend to go towards the Dungeons and Dragons alignment, where you can be lawful good, chaotic neutral, you know, neutral evil. I think it's like agnostic, atheist, agnostic, theist,
yeah,
Gnostic, theist, Gnostic, atheist. I really don't, as someone who would say agnostic, someone who pretends to know this stuff, I don't buy it. I think that 99% of people, even the ones who say that they know, if you really ask them and they're honest and they're sane, they're going to be agnostic. They don't really know. That's where that whole faith thing comes in.
Most of us on Ask an Atheist hold to the idea that most people who call themselves agnostic are actually acting from an atheist standpoint and may well as being atheists. But honestly, when it comes down to self-appellations and stuff like that, what you decide to call yourself is really... And that's so up for grabs, and it's so weirdly and socially nuanced that I just kind of look the other way a lot of the time.
But we do get that assumption a lot from a lot of people that if you call yourself an atheist, that you're making this positive claim with 100% certainty.
Yeah.
That is not the case.
Right.
I can't say the same thing of leprechauns, unicorns, flying spaghetti monster, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you with 100% anything aside from stuff that's, you know, self-contradictory, like a round triangle or a loud silence, you know, that sort of thing. That's the only stuff I can tell you 100% probably doesn't exist, stuff that's logically contradictory.
Right. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480, and thank you for your email. Our next one comes to us from Laura from Wales, and is about the Christian resurrection. And she writes, "Hey there, I have a question about the resurrection. I was having a chat with a Christian friend of mine the other day about the reason she believes in God. One of the things that came up was the story of Jesus being resurrected after his death. She talked about the supposed 500 witnesses to the event, the fact that nobody ever recovered the body of Jesus, and pointed out that nobody ever wrote anything questioning the claim, despite the dislike of many people at the time for Jesus and his followers. I know enough about the resurrection story to be skeptical of it. I was just wondering how much of the resurrection story has evidence supporting it. Do we know that a man called Jesus was crucified? Do we know that he was then found missing from his tomb? Are there accounts that I'm not aware of from sources other than the Bible talking about the resurrection?"
I think the main thing is that I've always found that whole "then there was no body in the tomb" thing to be one of the least compelling pieces of evidence that he came back to life. Imagine, you know, Michael Jackson died a couple years ago.
Right.
Now imagine if we went to wherever he's buried, I imagine there's some kind of a large mausoleum type thing, the same way that, you know, Jimi Hendrix has one up in Renton. And imagine if it was dug up and the body was just gone. What would your first assumption be? One, that somebody stole Michael Jackson's body, or two, that he got up and walked out of there under his own power?
I'm going to go with the frat, Trebek.
Yeah, and that's what I find so bizarre about it, is that dead guys don't tend to move. That's why they're dead guys. So,
the thing is, if that analogy was anyone but Michael Jackson, I'd be with you.
That's true.
And the whole the supporters thing, do we know a guy named Jesus existed? Not really.
Well, that's what it comes down to, is these days, the historicity of Jesus is actually somewhat of something of a raging debate between Christians and atheists, and there isn't a whole lot of evidence for the existence of Jesus outside of the Bible.
Yeah, there is no contemporary extra-biblical evidence for Jesus, that everything written about him, even in the Bible, was written decades after he was said to have lived.
Right. The closest thing people come to is the writings of Josephus, but that was 70 to 100 years later.
Yeah, and that's, you know, we're playing the game of telephone again, you know, a witness of a witness of a witness, and at the same time, we want to talk about much more modern thing.
Did I get something here?
No, it just occurred to me that Josephus rhymes with Bosephus.
Oh, yeah!
A.K.A. Hank Williams Jr. So I just started laughing.
So the thing that hits with me is that there is a, I guess you could say, a modern equivalent. There's this, well, not anymore because he just died recently.
Right.
So he's a favorite of Sam Harris to bring up in his speeches. It was like an Indian guru named Satya Sai Baba.
Mm-hmm.
And have you ever seen a picture of him? He kind of looks like a Samoan folk singer from the 70s. He's got a giant afro, and there's usually a picture of a rainbow behind him. All he really needs is like an acoustic guitar to really finish the picture off. But this is a guy who has literally millions of followers. And he claims to basically have performed all of the miracles of Jesus, including coming back from the dead, being born of a virgin, you know, having visions of the future, all that stuff. He claims to have done it, you know, healed the sick. And some of his miracles are even up on YouTube, and I don't want to spoil this for you, but they're really not very good. And this is a guy who has not only millions of supporters and witnesses to these, you know, so-called miracles, many of whom just totally swear by it. They're former Indian heads of state.
Right.
That totally swear by this guy. And
I think ultimately it comes down to, if the guy didn't actually exist, it's not a big surprise that his body can't be found. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. And we have another email. This is going to be a quick one. This is from Tim, and it's about our intro music. Your intro music sounds very familiar. Is that a Rush tune?
No, that's actually a friend of mine named Chris Coleman, who's in a band, I believe it's Import Export.
Yeah.
Is he in right now? He was in a band when I knew him much closer back in the day when he was in a band called Omni. He's a bass player. He's one of the most talented musicians I know. And, as a favorite of the show, he wrote a theme song for us. And, please, you know, Google the dude. Chris is incredibly talented.
All right. Well, we've got a couple more, and this is a pair that kind of go together, and this was really directed at me. So if so the first one comes from Dan, and this is about episode 5 or episode 1 of this season, The War on Christmas in July. On this week's show, I believe that the LGBT community, or at least my part of it, was done something of a disservice. Your caller made some generalizations that I believe are untrue. Speaking for myself and my experience, our community does in fact focus on human and civil rights. He goes on to say, you'll notice he made a statement to the effect of, what does it matter whether people choose to be gay or not? That right there is why we have the discussion on choice and nature, because he said choose. Again, saying choose to be gay, even in support of us, implies a misunderstanding of human sexuality and keeps the discussion of choice versus nature alive in public.
I just want to go by that saying is that neither Sam or myself believes that homosexuality is a choice. No more than we chose our sexuality.
And there's another email, which actually is a really clear response to this. And this is, why don't you go ahead and read this one?
This is one we had from Shantai. Basically talking about the same caller. He says, hello, I'm black, bisexual, agnostic, universalist, raised in the Church of God in Christ. The black guy who called in on the last episode about privilege was spot on about the gay community not focusing on choice biology. Who cares if it's a choice or not? I spent the first half of my adolescent adult life, which isn't that much time, I'm 25, in relationships with men and was perfectly happy. When I acknowledged that I was into women as well and started dating women, I was happier. None of that has anything to do with whether or not I should have access to the same basic rights as everyone else, marriage, health benefits, housing, job security, and perhaps even some of the services set up for other minorities that help offset the discrimination and lack of privilege.
Absolutely. And the first thing that you said is absolutely spot on. Never on the show have we said that there is not evidence backing up homosexuality as a biological function.
That's actually the scientific consensus.
The scientific consensus is there. Now, the question about whether or not choice or not should be a part of it is wrapped up completely here. Why does, when we have to tell people that homosexuality is part of biology and not a choice, we are fighting on the territory of the Christians. This is religious privilege, because the Christians and people who want to put people on the back of the train and not give them rights are saying, you have to prove to us that this is a real thing before we'll give you equal rights, just like it says in the Constitution. It should not matter whether or not it's biologically a thing or a choice thing. People who are homosexual should have those rights no matter what. And saying anything else puts it on their territory as an expression of privilege.
I totally agree, and I think that when I argue about the question of whether it's a choice or not, I'm arguing about pure fact. It's not a question of whether it's, as far as I'm concerned, they should be able to get married whether they choose their sexuality or not. And by the way, it's not. Somebody's hearing this now, it is not a choice. I never made a choice to be heterosexual. There was never a point where I'm like, okay, well, I'm hitting adolescence now, and I'm like, okay, what am I going to choose? This isn't like picking a character class in Dungeons & Dragons. I'm not like, okay, am I gay or straight? No, that never happened. This is a natural inclination, and it has some kind of genetic origin.
And this is something that we've said on the show, that sexuality may not be a choice. Atheism is.
To a much greater extent, at least. Yeah. I mean, I can't choose to be convinced by something. I can choose to delude myself about it and try to convince myself.
But that could be said to be a cause of environmental factors leading you to choose the fact not to be convinced by religious evidence. It's way more of an environmental thing than homosexuality. The homosexuality has a biological basis. Whether or not you choose to become an atheist has a lot to do with
learning. I agree that's not biology. I'll give you that. But what I'm saying is that the choice for me would be having to lie to myself about how compelling the evidence is. And I know that that's how apologetics works.
Right.
It's about trying to batter down those natural doubts that pop up, and I'm like, that just doesn't fly.
What you're saying, though, is that you have a reason to make your choice. My point is that it is still a choice.
Yeah, I'll give you that for the most part.
Okay.
But, it's certainly, at the very least, it's much more of a choice than your genetic predisposition and attraction.
Is that a hedging I hear?
Well, it's not a hedging. What I'm saying is very much is that I don't necessarily think it's a choice. I wouldn't use that word to describe it.
Okay.
But it's a hell of a lot more of a choice than whether I'm attracted to boys or girls.
Okay.
Because that's not a choice at all.
I will say it's basically a combination of environmental factors and education that leads you to make this choice. It's very difficult for you to turn on your education and your background, but I still say it's a choice.
Yeah. Okay. We'll just agree to disagree on that.
I will bring the evidence.
Okay.
This is Ask
an Atheist.
This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. So we're going to be moving on to the topic. Why don't you give us a teaser and then we'll go to the break.
The previously on Ask an Atheist, yeah. We were talking about the question of privilege. What is privilege? It's an invisible system of benefits, advantages, immunity, permission, right to be granted to an individual, class, or caste. And in this case, we're talking about Christian privileges. All the little things that they whine about, how they're being picked upon, when really what's being taken away is their right to bully other people.
Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. We'll be back in a minute.
To help those people feeling the wrath than an atheist. We don't believe in God, so we're pretty sure we won't get raptured out of here.
You can help by donating to Rapture Relief.
We'll use the money to help those afflicted during Armageddon.
And if for some reason this all turns out to be just another failed prophecy, your money won't be wasted.
We'll give it to Camp Quest, which teaches children critical thinking and science so they won't be duped by religious fables in the first place.
Learn more at rapture-relief.org.
A satirical benefit for Camp Quest, brought to you by Seattle Atheists.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv. If you're an atheist or atheist-friendly person and you'd like to join the Ask an Atheist crew after the show for conversation, beer, hot dogs, and brats, it's happening at 5 o'clock at the Red Hot.
The Red Hot specializes in craft beers and delicious hot dogs and brats.
On tap today, Everybody's Brewing Country Boy IPA, Avery Maharaja Triple IPA, Inkasi Made in the Shade IPA, Sierra Nevada Pale, Georgetown 9-Pound Porter, Baron Pilsner, Hair of the Dog Fred, Northern Light Stellar Stout, DuPont Red Orb Belgian Pils, New Belgium Abbey, Dogfish Head Midas Touch, Black Raven Morgan Dry Irish Stout on Nitro, Walking Man IPA in the Cask, Old Tacoma Lager, and Woodchuck Amber Cider.
Join us at the Red Hot, 2914 6th Avenue in Tacoma.
This is a 21 and over establishment.
This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480, and we have a caller. This is Eric from Cincinnati, and he's one of the callers from last week, and he'd like to talk about it. How you doing today?
Hey, guys. Hey, I appreciate you guys having me on. I appreciate it again.
Hey, no problem. Glad to have you on.
Hey, guys, I just came in and I was catching up on the podcast here, and it was interesting you're following up on last week's comment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, talk about the tyranny of the majority. The idea behind the republic is that the reason we have a representative democracy instead of a pure democracy is because to protect minorities from the tyranny of the majority.
Right.
So if you look at the situation that's going on, particularly with gay rights, particularly in light of what happened last week a few weeks ago in New York, you have the evangelical community now is trying to put on the ballot in New York that they want to vote to overturn. They want to put it to a popular vote to overturn the legislators,
right.
the thing that the legislators passed last week. And in some things, I just want to make this comment to anybody who's listening is this. Some things are not meant to vote on.
Absolutely.
And
that's absolutely true.
If we had to vote on everything, we'd still have slavery. We would still have Jim Crow. We'd still have women wouldn't be considered equal citizens, could own property, all these types of things. So some things, you don't have a right to vote on another man's pursuit of happiness.
Right.
Yeah, I totally agree, Eric. I that's really what the Constitution and the Bill of Rights are, is that yes, you can vote on a tax system, you can vote on a road system, you can vote on a way to even elect specific elected officials, but you
right.
can't vote on the rights of somebody else. That there are certain lines that no matter how popular they are, you cannot cross.
And I think this was one of the things that was debated in the Lincoln-Douglas debate. So whether or not, you know, I think Douglas was for having the states decide, and one of the opposing arguments was
it absolutely was, yeah.
You cannot vote on that, because if that were the case, how do you think all the Southerners would have voted? How would the Southerners have, if we didn't send the army to Arkansas, how do you think the people of Arkansas would have voted to integrate schools?
Yeah, it wouldn't have happened. That's the bottom line.
It would not have happened.
And that's
okay, guys. So I don't want to take up too much time. I'll listen to the rest of the show. I appreciate it. Remember, guys, you know, you guys are on the tip of the spear, so keep it coming.
Thank you, Eric.
Thanks.
Keep it coming.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. I think that this is something that a lot of Christians are throwing out there, especially in the gay rights debate, that, hey, there's more Christians than there are non-Christians, so we should be able to tell people what to do.
Yeah.
No.
Exactly. Here, this is why the amendments are the amendments, and say you get to do this, and no one can write a law that says you can't.
And it's a real short-sightedness thing, too. You know, there's a possibility, Christians, that you may not be the majority someday. Do you really want the laws to be written in such a way where other people can bully you?
All right. We have another call. This is Robert from Dallas, and he'd like to talk to us about the first cause argument. How are you doing today?
Hi, guys. Hey, thank you for taking my call. I was listening. This is the first time I've listened to your show. It's very entertaining and informative. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you.
My question regards uncaused quantum events. I've been having some discussions with some very, very erudite and well-educated Christian apologists who have, you know, lots of degrees, and I have none. And so they're much better educated than me.
That doesn't mean that they're always right, though.
I know. That's right. So this is one of the things that, I run into this. The claim is, you don't have any degrees, therefore you're a know-nothing. And so
that's an appeal to authority and a logical fallacy.
It's an appeal to authority, exactly. So the question is, can these guys make a valid case that uncaused quantum events such as are speculated upon by inflationary cosmology be actually caused in some fashion by their God?
We've talked about this.
Yeah, I think the thing that's so silly about this argument is that it really involves an unnecessary middleman. That why can't, if something can exist without having a cause, why can't that thing be the universe? Why do you have to pile one thing on top of it just by straight assertion? I can't pretend to be a scientist, but if you're going to start your argument by saying that everything must have a cause, that everything includes the thing at the end of your argument, too.
Additionally, the inflationary event that caused the universe to be, or that created the universe as we know it, there's no evidence as to its cause, so there's specifically no evidence as to a minded cause, that there was an intelligence behind the cause. So, you know, maybe somebody caused the Big Bang, but there's no evidence that says it's their specific God. And this is a problem with religious arguments, and this is straight up the God of the gaps. I have found a hole in your understanding, so I'm going to pare down my God and shove it in that hole and make it fit.
That's the really bizarre part, is that even if Thomas Aquinas' argument is absolutely true, it says nothing about, you know, talking snakes in a garden. It says nothing about a first century Palestinian Jew dying on two pieces of wood for your sins. It says none of that.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what the flying spaghetti monster exists to make fun of, is it is about that last, you know, bald-faced, baseless assumption where they just cram their specific God into it.
Gosh, I love that. That's really beautiful. Thanks, guys.
Hey, no problem.
All right, you have a good day. I get that one a little bit. And I'll say I am not a particularly degreed person myself, and I'll leave that out as bait in a conversation to see if somebody will jump on that and say, well, you have nothing to say on this topic because you're not a PhD and this, that, and the other thing.
But what about all the other PhDs who think they're full of crap?
Right. And at some point, but the thing is when somebody if I make a good argument but start it with that immediately and somebody immediately jumps on that, that is somebody who's making a logical fallacy. It's called appeal to authority. And if that's the kind of conversation that they want to have, then this debate isn't going to go anywhere. And usually the audience notices that.
I think also a lot of times that there's still... This is the thing that differs science from religion and the religious claims versus scientific claims is that when there's something really there to study, there's an it to study, there's more knowledge you can gain from studying it. Your knowledge is going to become refined. It's going to grow. It's going to lead to more questions. It's going to lead to more discoveries. And like, for instance, we are basically communicating over the fruits of science right now. We're talking to a guy on another side of the country.
Yeah.
We're not like praying, but this, I mean, and this technology is going to be better 50 years from now. Our ability to do this because we study it, we learn from it, and we're able to harness the way the universe works, be meeting it on its own ground. And refining it. But really, when it comes to these sorts of arguments that they're making, he's making the same argument that Thomas Aquinas made during the Dark Ages. And all they can really do is spruce it up with a bunch of bogus mumbo-jumbo stuff, usually about things like quantum mechanics. And when you actually ask somebody who studies quantum mechanics, they just go, yeah, they're misusing that.
One of the things I like to do when they bring up God of the Gaps is not just, you know, say, that's not it's not just bad science, it's bad theology from the perspective of most theologians, is that you're basically taking this grand God that's in your book that you apparently believe has all of these attributes, cutting off the stuff that doesn't fit into the hole in our scientific understanding, and shoving it in there. Not only does that make you a bad scientist, that makes you a bad religious believer.
And it's funny because, like, oh, which bits are the ones that are taken literally, and which ones are just an analogy? Well, oh, well, the ones that we find out aren't true, well, yeah, those are the ones you don't take literally, and the ones that you do, that one's true.
And some people choose to cut it down and decide some things are true and some things are literal and some things are literary, or some people decide to believe in a vague creation God and become some sort of pantheists, and some people like us just decide to call the whole thing off. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. And we should probably continue a little bit on our conversation about majoritarian privilege.
Yeah, I think the first thing you have to notice about privilege when it does come up is it's about this assumed default status. It's sort of like, again, the example I used last week, if there's a movie about a white male character, there's this kind of assumption that people have, even if they're not racist, that this is a movie that's for every audience, where if it has a black main character or a female main character, oh, that's a movie for women, that's a movie for black audiences.
Yeah.
And that's, again, this sort of default status. And like with privilege, people don't even notice it. And that's the thing, it doesn't make you a bad person. Let's talk about how this applies to Christians. We dove into it a little bit last week, and I think one of the big ones is that Christianity dominates American politics. I mean, dominates it. Not only is it almost a given that every major candidate for president has to declare they're at least nominally a Christian or religious, but both major parties go out of their way to avoid offending religious people.
Why did everybody have to hang out with Rick Warren last election cycle?
Exactly. That was a big thing. Both John McCain and Barack Obama, the nominees of the two largest political parties in our country, sat down with Rick Warren. These people did not do any sort of event put on by any other organization that they didn't negotiate the rules for themselves. Mm-hmm. But they sat down with this guy who compared homosexuality to having sex with animals.
Yeah.
They sat down with that guy.
That's a favorite one. Yeah.
Yeah. And at the same time, even though this is a guy who, I'm going to guess Bob Obama couldn't talk into endorsing him even if he gave him a chest full of gold, he still let this guy talk at his inauguration, making a lot of his own supporters angry.
Yeah.
So why is it that somebody's willing to do that for religious people, and then religious people turn around and act like they're somehow this under siege, picked on group that's constantly being under attack? And that's what we're getting at, is where is it that somebody can have everything going their way, but they act as if they're actually being persecuted when all that's being taken away is an unfair advantage?
Part of that is believing their own propaganda, though. The early church, you know, was persecuted in Rome because that's the kind of thing that Rome does. And, you know, they were in the minority in Judea, and they've basically been thumping their chest saying how badly they've been wronged all the way into complete and total dominance over Western civilization.
And they have that written into their scripture that people will despise them for this. And it's so silly, because in the position you're on, you want to trade? I'll take your level of being despised. So let's really look at the other end. Okay, Mr. Christian, Mrs. Christian, let's look at it from the other perspective. Atheism, us, we're a political third rail in this country. There are state constitutional bans. I mean, they're not enforceable since the 60s, but they're still there. And the entrenched mentalities that keep them there, they're still written into law. North Carolina actually had a politician that tried to actually got elected to office, and people got organized using the state constitution to try to throw him out of office.
Yeah.
And then there was in Arkansas, there was a an actual constitutional ban. A guy got elected to state legislature, tried to change the law. This is just completely unenforceable language. You can't actually use it. He couldn't even get the bill to clean up the language out of a committee.
Sure.
That's, I mean, yes, it's not enforceable by law, but the mentality that put it there in the first place, still alive and well.
Yeah, I've heard some people say they're hoping eventually the Constitution goes away and then their state constitution takes effect. And I've heard really weird arguments about why people want to keep that.
That's so bizarre because a lot of the major things like the right to free speech and stuff, there's several state constitutions that don't have that written into it. Or
right.
Religious freedom or stuff like that because they don't have to.
Right.
So when you take away the U.S. Constitution, you just fall back on all this other stuff.
Sure.
Actually, in some places, some state constitutions, like I know the state of Washington goes a bit further than even the First Amendment on church-state separation. Which is actually good, where it actually bans the use of public funds for sectarian religious purposes.
Mm-hmm.
You actually get that in a lot of states, and that's actually used in a lot of places to stop a lot of the faith-based initiative funding.
Sure.
So, but at the same time, we don't have, you know, free speech in our state constitution, as far as I know. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. A lot of these things, because we don't need to, because it's already there. It's like
that's true. Is that the individual state constitutions are not designed to somehow supersede the regular constitutions? Is that the state constitutions are about the operation of the individual states and about the specific laws individual to those states? However, the Constitution allows state constitutions, but says that state governments cannot override the rights given to people in the federal constitution.
Federal constitution. That basically this is the rules for being part of one of these states.
Right.
If the U.S. Constitution did go away, man, just imagine how many more things would be illegal here.
Yeah, I didn't say it was going to be all bad, just pretty bad.
Yeah. There's another half to this kind of political third rail place that we're at, which is that if somebody attacks an atheist, like a political figure, a really good example was the Kay Hagan, Elizabeth Dole, U.S. Senate run. I believe it was in 08 or 06.
That sounds...
Sounds 08?
Sounds 06. Yeah, I don't know. But
okay.
One of their,
someone will send us an email.
Mid-decade.
But basically, Kay Hagan, who was a Democratic nominee, had a supporter who happened to be an atheist activist, put on a fundraiser for her. Her opponent, Elizabeth Dole, who was the incumbent at that time, put out an ad calling atheists vile and basically attacking it in the same way you'd imagine someone would call somebody a communist or a terrorist or something.
Yeah, like we reinvented the 1918 influenza strain or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. And like we were pure evil, and just being associated with us was political poison. Now, I would like to believe that Kay Hagan would say something like, you know, I may not personally be an atheist, but everyone in this state is my constituent, and I'm not going to turn, you know, on people that support the things that I support. I'm not going to say just because somebody doesn't believe in God, they can't be good. What did she do? No, she didn't do that. She instead wrapped herself in Jesus, distanced herself from those people, basically threw us under the bus. There were no political consequences whatsoever, and at the same time, we're still basically lepers.
Yeah, well,
in that discussion.
When the going gets tough, political people go religious. I mean, I think we all remember the John McCain ad that had the Left Behind imagery, possibly, maybe at some point, painting Obama as possibly, potentially, the Antichrist, maybe.
Oh, that's scary. I mean, if you're really in a country where you're being picked on for being a Christian, why would a politician running at that level appeal to Christianity?
Right.
Because if they were under siege in that way, that ad would have killed him.
I mean,
he lost the election, yeah, but that's not because he was a Christian.
That was my point. I was going to say, he did lose, which proves that Obama was
the Antichrist.
He was. Well, yeah.
He was not.
And that's
did
the thing.
Did he pass it on to, I mean, what is it, a job that you get? I'm really not familiar with...
president and Antichrist at the same time.
Oh, okay. So,
yeah, the Antichrist is a bit like, I think this is one thing Casey said in one of her early episodes, is a bit like James Bond, where the label of Antichrist gets a new actor every few years.
And the presidency is sort of an Antichrist prophylactic there? Is that
how, I don't know how that works.
Just keeping...
That's our new, the name of our next album, actually. Antichrist prophylactic. Yeah.
Just trying to keep the theme alive. So, one more time, you guys have an event on this
July 21st.
July 21st.
We're opening for the Holy Ghost at Chop Suey.
At Chop Suey.
Holy Ghost.
What time should we be there?
Be there about 8, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is there a door or what's the?
It's, I think it's red.
It's a rectangle.
Yeah.
Are there tickets available?
It's $7.
Okay.
You can buy tickets. I don't know the address.
Is it 7 at the door?
It's, God, I should really know that. But it's $7 in advance. But you can go online from the Chop Suey website.
Okay.
And find them.
Well, this
or
is...
you can also facebook.com/3ninjasmusic.
Oh, okay, cool.
I have the link to the Facebook event up there, and all the information is there.
And we'll go. We'll get all that information up on the blog.
Yeah.
So, yeah, one last thing on Christian privilege. Atheists, the bar is just set that much lower. So we really can't do anything that is so innocuous that can't be offensive. Even just saying, hey, guess what? We don't eat babies and we can be nice people too. That will get protests.
If you
want to get the best idea of why we have a show, why we have a vocal movement, it's that thing, that there is nothing we can do that isn't acted like, oh, I'm being picked upon because I occasionally have to see something that I disagree with. How do you think we feel?
All right, this is Ask an Atheist, reminding you guys that we are not just a podcast. We do distribute our episodes online, but we are in fact a radio show airing every Sunday on KLAY 1180 AM in Tacoma. My name is Sam Mulvey, and with me was Mike Gillis.
Hey.
And Three Ninjas and Tangent Bot. Hey.
Hello. Hey.
Thanks for coming in.
Babies.
All right, so my crew today was Rebecca Friedman as the call screener, and Chad Katz Cassidy as the production assistant as usual. Chris Coleman does the music. This is an NEDM Media production, and we will see you guys at the Red Hot in about an hour. You guys have a good evening.